Lights on, cameras on, real nigga in this bitch, man. Episode 194. Damn, it feel good to be back in the motherfucking stew. We in this bitch, man. Look, I ain't gonna hold y'all. I know why you here. You know why the fuck I'm here. It's been a little miss. I gave y'all some fire ass content, but don't worry. We in this bitch. Let's go and get right into it.
Welcome to Raw Is
OG.
Ash, man, you know the fuck it is. Nigga, play on me, man.
Man, Shorty gonna hit me. I hit Shorty like, yo, what's up? You couldn't put them lips on me tonight? Shorty said, I don't put lips on nobody. That's not my man.
Wow.
Bitch, please. DJ, hit me. Yes, sir. What's poppin' with y'all, man? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly, OG. Now, spin that fucking block, man. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've been back in the fucking stew, bitch. I feel amazing.
Wow.
I feel amazing. It's crazy because I feel like my voice sounds funny, but I feel amazing, bitch. I am in a building. I am in a stew. I am here. Lights are on. Cameras on. Real nigga in this bitch. Look, I'm not gonna hold you. I know why you here. You know why I'm here. Episode 194, man, on the ground 200. This shit don't stop for a motherfucker me. So let them hating ass niggas in the back know your boy's always been.
For the bitches, for the bitches, for the bitches, for the bitches, for the bitches.
I've always been the flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. Oh, OG! Hash me the fuck it is, man. What's up with the people? All around the world. What's up with y'all? I hope you're out there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. It's a whole lot of shit going on in Trench Meditation each and every episode. What's a shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation, man. I truly appreciate all love and motherfucking me support, man. Keep this empire break by motherfucking me brick. Tell a friend that OG Hash got a motherfucking me show. We is in the building, baby. Look, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. It feels... It's one of those weird feelings, man. I'm sad that I have this feeling of being in the studio, but damn it, I miss being in this motherfucker. Bro, it's probably been like a good damn near 2 weeks since I actually recorded an episode.
Wow.
Even the last episode I had dropped, that motherfucker was probably like 4 to 5 days old before I even put it out. Usually I record, and the very next day I put an episode out. Couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Niggas was over here sick. Niggas been going through it. Niggas been having a lot of shit on their motherfucking me mind. It's a lot that goes on behind the motherfucking me scenes for people that's just now tapped in on this journey. If you don't know, your boy goes through a lot of shit. But to be fair, it wasn't my fault this time. Look, man, I told y'all, you know, I picked up a second job. I'm at a dispensary. I'm at said dispensary, bro. It was some shit that was going around, man. I know one of the fucking employees that caught COVID. Next thing you know, everybody in that motherfucker started getting sick.
Wow.
Including myself. I got fucked up, bro. Even recording this right now, I don't even like the way I sound, bro. Like, my voice sounds funny to me. It feels funny when I talk. And even, like, I can't keep a long fuck. I'm not long-winded any motherfucker anymore. I can't even really smoke. It's been a lot of shit going on these last motherfucking me 2 weeks, man. But I said, fuck that, man. I feel good enough to come here and give you guys a great motherfucking me show. And that's definitely what I aim to do. You know, in my personal life, I can sit here and honestly look in this camera and say I've took steps towards growth.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to take you a little bit behind the curtain just because, man, I'm going to be honest with you, ain't shit to really talk about on the docket, man. It's a lot of bullshit going on. People want to talk about Ja Morant doing the motherfucking meat bazooka dance and shit. Niggas want to talk about a bunch of bullshit. I really ain't interested, bro. I'm going to take you behind the curtain, and we're going to see how long this motherfucking me episode truly is. You know, the reason why I highlight that I've taken steps in growth and I've noticed throughout this month of December is, for people that don't know, man, December is a very, very, very tough month for me. You know, I'm not one of those people who, you know, things happen to, I get over things quickly. No, I'm a very stubborn motherfucker. I hold grudges. I think back on past trauma. I live in the past. It's fucked up.
Wow.
The reason why the month of December has always been so hard for me is because my father was murdered on December 23rd when I was 3 years old. And every year just for the month of December, building up until December 23rd, I'm very, very depressed. My mood, everything about me is just the worst version of myself for those motherfucking me 23 days.
Wow.
You know, niggas around the world, they be getting happy, you know, 12 days of Christmas. No, nigga, like that's like the worst time of my life every year. I don't know what it is. It's just like my body is just set like an alarm to be depressed in the month of December. And it's weird because, you know, my grandpa, he was murdered. He died on the same day, different years apart, but on the same day as well. So it's been a very, very gloomy, you know what I'm saying, time for my family every year around that time. And also, I've told y'all in past episodes how, you know, the last year or two, me and my immediate family have really stopped having communication with each other. There is no Merry Christmases. There is no Happy Holidays. No come by, get you a play fix. There's none of that shit that goes on anymore in my family anymore. I spent my holidays alone. Even this past Christmas, I spent my Christmas alone, fam. I was at the crib on the couch watching fucking football and basketball all motherfucking day, losing my money through parlays. Like, my life has changed dramatically when it comes to the family aspect of it. But the reason why I highlight that I took steps towards growth this year is because this is the first year, this is the first December in my adulthood, let's just say, where things were in my control, that I did not let the passing of my father hinder my mindset, my judgment, or anything leading up to the 23rd. And I gotta say, man, I think a lot of that shit kind of takes, you know, I have to lend some of that credit to, a lot of that credit, I should say, to me picking up this job at the dispensary. You know, for people that know me, man, I'm not a social motherfucker. I really don't like people. But being at this job, man, it's forced me to be around people around my age group. It's forced me to network. It's forced me to just let a side of myself shine that's been fucking put up since fucking me high school, college.
Wow.
And I truly was happy that I was able to fucking go to work on the 23rd, the anniversary of my father's murder. I was able to go there and be in one of the best moods I've been in a very, very motherfucking me long time. And the reason why I bring this up on the podcast, because I think a lot of us go through things in life where we all have certain things that we know we're going to react to in a negative way. And we try to avoid those things. And for the most part, throughout my adulthood, I've avoided working on December 23rd. I always had that day off. I always used that day to be a motherfucking recluse. I've always used that day to fucking be crawled up in the bed, having an excuse to be shut off from the motherfucking me world. And every year in my adulthood, I will always do that and just feel okay with saying, you know what? That's the day I'm a fucking just keep to myself and me and my father and keep that in. You know, growing up, like I told you, I mentioned about my grandpa, who died on that same day. My uncle, who was his son, we used to always get together, man, just make sure we was with each other. My pops pretty much raised my uncle, and my uncle's father died on the same day as my fucking father. So we always had that little kinship, you know what I'm saying? That little small thing that we always just fell back on that said, nah, this shit, our relationship is a lot deeper than a motherfucker from the outside could even motherfucking understand. But I don't talk to him anymore. I don't talk to him anymore. I don't talk to any of them anymore. So I took a lot of pride, man, to having this moment this year where I finally just looked up and said, you know what, bro? I can't keep letting this day. I can't keep letting this time and period of my life every motherfucking year hinder me. And I took a lot of motherfucking me pride in that, bro. I took a lot of pride in going to work and just being able to be me. I was smiling so much that day. And it wasn't because I'm finally getting over my pops being murdered. I would never get over that. I would never get over that. I was smiling because at that moment, my pops can actually look down and say, my little nigga ain't let shit stop that motherfucking bag.
Wow.
My little nigga ain't letting shit stop his responsibilities. Because every year before that, I was letting it. And I don't know, man. Maybe that shit just, you know what I'm saying, some bibble babble for me. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's all about stopping the cycle. And every year, bro, no matter what position, I can be thinking I'm doing great in life. I can be fucking elevating in life, but every year, the month of December, I would let fucking just tear me down. Everything I worked so hard for all year long, I set in a solid foundation, I would let the month of December tear me motherfuck down. And I really needed that, man, you know, bouncing, you know, piggybacking off the whole hate crime shit, piggybacking off what I'm going through with the job. And I really needed to find my footing somewhat throughout all this wild shit that's going on in my personal life, man. So it felt good to be able to maintain a level head and take steps towards progression, take steps towards becoming the man I want to be, man. It's a lot of shit that, you know, motherfuckers that act like they know you, act like they care for you. It's a lot of times when them people constantly remind you that they really don't give a fuck about you. And it's up to us to allow that person to re-enter that space and re-enter and regain that control. And I can be happy to say that, you know, throughout the month of December, throughout this time to where I typically would be depressed and making bad decisions, I honestly say, bro, I sat back and made some of the best decisions of my motherfucking life. You know, in the dark type shit, you know, so letting playing the background role. Yes, the podcast man took a step back because I wasn't being as productive with the shit, but I had to make sure I get my personal life together. And I can honestly sit here and say, bro, that's what I did, man. I'm happy as fuck with myself for doing that. And I don't think that those actions can be, overlooked and overblown, because it's important, bro. It truly is important that I take care of myself, man. I truly feel like that. But enough of the super serious shit, man. Let's go ahead and get into the motherfucking me documents. Last shit I want to get into. So let's go ahead and jump right into this shit, man. I came on this podcast time and time again, and I've talked about this Elon Musk character, right? You know, Elon Musk is one of the most powerful men in the world. I don't know when I first became aware of this Elon Musk character. Was it Kanye West? I think it was Kanye West who really got everybody onto this Elon Musk thing. I was watching Iron Man not too long ago, and I peeped that Elon Musk was in Iron Man. I didn't know that shit when I first watched it. I don't know if this is some type of motherfucking Mandela effect situation. I don't know. But I think we all can identify Elon Musk is probably the closest thing we have to an actual Iron Man.
Wow.
I've come on this platform time and time again. I've talked about how Elon Musk is probably the only man I'm truly afraid of. You know, Elon Musk has a lot of fucking money. And I've never been one to count anybody's pockets. I've never been that guy. But when you start doing things with your money that I feel can be not only a direct threat to myself, but a direct threat to human civilization.
Wow.
I've really started to take a keen interest in what the fuck a nigga spends their money on. Elon Musk, I will repeat for the umpteenth time on this platform, is a dangerous fucking man. You know, a nigga like Elon Musk, we have to understand and take keen to what the fuck he's doing with his money, because he's throwing ideas out there that resemble iRobot.
Wow.
He's thrown things out there. He's done things with his money that we've seen. We've seen robots doing fucking combat training. We've seen this nigga have access to build underground tunnels. We've seen this nigga, this one man, create such a fucking power structure in this country in a blink of an eye that we should be aware of what the fuck he's doing. You know, what's that movie that everybody was just talking about, bro? It was on Netflix. It was called A Leave the World Behind. They got Mahershala Ali, Julia Fox, what's my nigga name? Ethan Hawke. What's my other nigga name? Kevin Bacon. It got some big hitters in this fucking movie. And there's a scene from the movie to where all the Teslas are like just fucking losing control and fucking on auto navigate, and they're fucking crashing up the fucking roads and shit. And everybody was like, that's a threat. That's like a sign of what's to come. Fam. I don't trust this nigga Elon Musk because Elon Musk is doing things with artificial intelligence that I just don't feel comfortable with. Look, maybe I'm old school. Maybe it's the 90s in me. I don't want a fucking self-driving car.
Wow.
It's some, look, I've been in car accidents, okay? I know what it's like at the split of when you have no control inside that motherfucking me. 32,000 motherfucking me, 3,200 pound motherfucking me machinery. I don't want to be in a vehicle that I can't control. Now, granted, you motherfuckers probably say, nigga, you done rode on buses, you ain't the nigga driving. Cool. I need to see a human being fucking moving this vehicle. I don't want that motherfucker just be floating. I don't want that shit. You got this shit right now with Elon Musk. He's fucking, he's elevated from fucking self-driving cars. This motherfucker's doing, what is this called? The Optimus Gen 2? It's an AI humanoid robot designed to do tough and boring jobs and chores, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, that motherfucker is iRobot.
Wow. Wow.
Did y'all not just hit a report about the fucking attack that happened in Texas where the fucking Tesla robot fucking left a puddle of blood leaking from a man? The motherfucker ripped his back open, leaving puddles of blood.
Wow.
And you got Tesla and them trying to come out and say it was a human error, not a robot error.
Wow.
Yeah, first of fucking all, anytime there's a situation where a robot has torn limbs or drawn blood from an actual human.
Wow.
It's the robot's fault. Nigga, what the fuck are y'all talking about? I don't trust this shit. Look, I'm not here to motherfucking me not be with the advancement of technology, the advancement of motherfucking me, the human evolution. I don't go however the fuck you want to slice. I'm not against that shit. I don't, there's just certain shit that I don't want to see in my lifetime. I don't want to see flying cars. I don't want to see fucking robots doing the fucking chores of motherfucking me humans. I don't want to see that shit. I don't want to see a time and place throughout my lifetime where I'm walking the streets and it's fucking robots running past me delivering shit. I don't want to see that, brother. Because I've seen too many movies of what the fuck that's going to turn into. I'm very afraid of artificial intelligence. I got a sound bar. I probably told this story plenty of times on my podcast. I have a sound bar in my motherfucking me home, right? There was a time and place where I'm moving to my new apartment. And it was like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Niggas in that motherfucker sleep, dick out, swing. I'm sleep, nigga. I'm having the best sleep of my life. Naked, 3 fans on. I'm in this bitch. And all of a sudden, I start hearing this motherfucker me talking in my living room.
Wow.
My nigga, I hopped up. I'm tripping over shoes and shit. Mind you, I'm naked. If a nigga was really in my house, I'm defeated. I'm dunzo.
Wow.
I'm tripping, spraining ankles, dick swinging. I'm wiping fucking crust on my eyes. Reaching for weapons. Who in this bitch? Motherfucking me soundbar told me, I'm sorry, I can't repeat what I just said.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
What the fuck you mean you can't repeat what the fuck you just said? Mind you, niggas had just got through watching all that motherfucking Will Smith shit. I am legend. I am robot. Nigga just got through watching all that shit. Next thing you know, my motherfucking me, my living room just talking. I'm afraid of AI, man. But this nigga Elon Musk is weaponizing AI right in front of your very motherfucking me eyes, man. I'm not here for all this motherfucking me humanoid shit. I'm not here for it. I'm sorry. I'm not here for it. And a nigga with all that money, why you just can't go buy your motherfucking NBA team?
Wow.
Go buy a fucking NFL team, nigga. Why are you spending, are you dumping all your money into these machinery, you know what I'm saying, humanoids and robots and shit? Bro, I don't trust shit like that. I don't trust shit like that. There's people in this world that I truly feel motherfuckers need to take a heightened sense of of awareness of what the fuck they do in their private time. When niggas have the money and the backing and the trust of all the hierarchy in the world. When we know this nigga name, his kid, none of his kids got regular names. They got fucking robot ass names. It's alleged incest going on. And this is the nigga that y'all putting y'all faith into. A fucking high director motherfucking me next steps of the human civilization.
Wow.
I don't know about this Elon Musk nigga, bro. I'm telling you. I don't know. This nigga sounds a little bit motherfucking me sketchy. Every motherfucking me time, man. He truly motherfucking me do. He truly motherfucking do. But moving on. From one white man to another. Let's get into album 22, man. Yeah, album 22 is he's an interesting guy. And I'm not talking about the whole, you know, letting people fuck his wife type shit. Look, I thought album 22 was on some white boy shit until all this P. Diddy shit came out.
Wow.
I'm starting to think that's like another kink that niggas with money just got. They just like seeing their girl get fucked by other dudes, black dudes primarily. But I'm not here to talk about Adam 22's, you know, sexual prowess or what the fuck he's into watching this girl get fucked. I just seen a clip circulating of him dapping a nigga up who was fucking knee deep and letting the plug. Like, I don't know what's going on with that shit. I don't make enough money to even act like I understand what's going on sexually there. That's some wild shit. I'm a born sexual nigga. All I know is you insert the penis inside the vagina. After that, you take it out, slap it on the bitch's tongue. She sucky, sucky. Oh my God, we just had the best time of our life. Hooray. That's all I know. Now, I'm boring when it comes to this shit. I don't know nothing about these freak-offs. I don't know nothing about fucking hiring niggas to come fuck your girl. I don't know nothing about none of that shit. All that shit is weird to me. So I'm not even going to sit here and act like I give a fuck about who's fucking letting the plug anymore. The reason why I want to bring album 22 up today is because I told y'all on past episodes, man, I got a homeboy who truly looks at album 22 like album 22 is some type of, you know, fucking main fixture. He's the top media guy, and I respect it. Look, man, when you have a certain formula, let's just say that album 22 has, a person like myself isn't shocked at the type of people who fucking gravitate towards. When you got niggas who in the streets, when niggas who quote unquote underground rap and all that bullshit, that's the perfect type of fucking core audience that Adam 22 is looking for. All he looks for is niggas who know that gang shit, Chicago shit, some inside LA gang shit, and motherfucking me interview with every motherfucking me underground rapper and motherfucking me this side of Mississippi.
Wow.
But the reason why I want to bring Adam 22 up is because I came across multiple clips of this guy named Crip Mac, right? And I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I know anything about this Crip Mac nigga. I just know dude name was Crip Mac, and he was riding hard for Adam 22.
Wow.
He's not the first gangbanger that's done this. There's been plenty of gangbangers who have came on a No Jumper platform. Adam has put that microphone in their face, gave them some type of clout, gave them a platform to showcase their abilities. And them said gangbangers ride for no fucking jump.
Wow.
So I never had no problem with it. I understood what the fuck that was. Especially after you had the whole fucking situation with them other niggas, them first niggas leaving that, what was it, last year? They kicked all this shit off. Them fig nudity niggas and the community niggas. When them niggas had their little tension with Adam 22, now you got niggas like Brick Baby. Now you got all these sharp niggas. Now you got all these niggas. He even got some shit with Wack 100 going right now. And also at that time, you insert a Crip Mac. The reason why I bring this up is because I've always said Adam 22 was a culture vulture. I didn't look at a DJ Vlad as a culture vulture because I just looked at DJ Vlad as someone who fucking reported the news, who got the story, went into the story, got all the facts out the story. Either niggas was gonna tell themselves or not, but I never looked at him as an actual culture vulture. I've always looked at Adam 22 as a culture vulture because I literally see it every motherfucking time. He gets a nigga, drains a nigga of all his motherfucking street knowledge, that street image. He uses niggas for the authenticity of his fucking platform.
Wow.
I can't say that about a flag. And when I can see a nigga who truly don't give a fuck about hip hop, I don't give a fuck about hip hop. I don't have a fucking hip hop platform. Adam 22 don't give a fuck about fucking hip hop. Adam 22 don't give a fuck about niggas, period. But what does he use to fucking, to give his show the authenticity, the clout, and the backing of real shit? Street niggas. Bring a bunch of street niggas on there, put them on the camera, and now you're giving your fucking, you're giving some type of credence to your platform. But when said niggas, when said street niggas who've been riding for you, pumping up that No Jumper brand, putting that motherfucking that flag down for No Jumper, talking about they gonna ride and slide for No motherfucking Be Jumper. No matter how stupid a nigga like me think that shit is. When them said street niggas get in trouble, i.e. Crip Mac, what does an Adam 22 do then?
Wow.
Adam 22 says he doesn't even go to a nigga's court date. Adam 22 says he don't even talk to them niggas no more. Adam 22 treat that nigga like he's a nobody. When that same nigga was down the ride against AD. When that same nigga was on cameras throwing up his gang signs, rapping for No Jumper. That same nigga can't get a fucking call back from Adam 22 right now.
Wow.
And it's not about me whether or not I want to sit here and say a nigga should be riding or Adam 22 should be throwing. Fuck, no, it's not about that. When motherfuckers is there for you, and not even throughout your times of need, because throughout all this shit, Adam 22 was never in a time of need. He's never been in a time of need. But when you got these street niggas that come on that camera and they riding for you the way they ride for you, when them niggas get booked, them niggas get jammed up, you should be one of the first niggas there. Because them niggas was giving your show, your platform, the motherfucking credence in the back end that motherfucking me used desperately desiring. Because you don't need it, but you wanted it. And you found some crash out niggas who would do that shit for you. And it's sad because them same niggas around you, like a Brick Baby, like a fucking Whack 100, like a Shark, like all these niggas who got ties to some street shit allegedly, them niggas not gonna see you for what you truly is. You just a fucking white boy who's using and sucking on these niggas dry of they motherfucking me image, of they clout. That's what the fuck you doing.
All right, real shit, hold on. I'm gonna play the clip.
No, but counselor, you could pause that.
And the judge,
if you did that point,
they were telling me on Monday that they wanted me to come and try to talk to the judge on Wednesday, but I already had my whole week booked to interviews.
No.
That's when they said they're not going to let him out while he's waiting. I know, but what am I going to do? I got people flying in to do interviews. I got to cancel my whole.
No, but you could pause the interview a little bit.
Yeah, you could have went. You could have
like the interview could wait a little bit.
You could have felt like that's his life. Like 12 to 2.
I got my whole week booked every week. Look at this Wednesday. I got 7 things I got to do throughout the day.
Wow.
As a fake real whatever nigga is.
Yeah, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Booked. He needs you there. Though.
What am I gonna do?
He needs you though, bro.
I wish I could have done.
You can't, man. What the
you could about? No.
Well, I'm not supposed to just cancel my whole schedule for Matt. Just everybody
no,
I know.
But put your feet in there.
What you supposed to do?
What?
Call his attorney, whoever it is. Ask him what time his court gonna be.
Or to push his court day back.
They say his court day is gonna be court time gonna be 10 o'clock. Whoever you got scheduled from 10 to 1. Move it to the next day.
Especially if they got a joint.
The next day is for the
hotel room. Tell them.
I just want to point out that as Whack 100 just said, Whack 100 is a pie rule. Let's just make sure.
Wow.
Whack 100 is a pie rule. He's talking, he's giving game about what Adam 22 should be doing for a nigga named Crip Man.
Wow.
That should be highlighted, my nigga. This is a pie rule. Giving game on what the fuck actually should be happening, what should be getting done for a nigga named Crip Mac, man. Keep the show.
Delay him, put him in a hotel. I don't would crib back. But I don't like seeing niggas in jail.
Nobody deserves to be.
So you, you'd cancel your trip to the Congo?
For a blue flag?
No, to go on pop.
For crib Mac?
Huh?
But you... I don't know.
Hey, look, let me pause it right there. Do you hear the fucking tone in Adam 22's voice? He said, for crib Mac, and started fucking laughing. He's saying you would cancel your trip to a fucking a vacation trip for a crib fucking Mac?
Wow.
That's the same crib Mac, nigga, you've been parading on your motherfucking platform.
Wow.
That's the same motherfucking me crib Mac you've been exploiting for months.
Wow.
That's the same nigga. See, that's what I'm saying. See, I ain't bringing this shit up on the pod just to be talking about fucking Adam 22. I don't give a fuck about Adam 22. This shit go deeper than Adam 22. This shit is about niggas. This shit is about niggas going on and getting exploited by fucking white men day in and day motherfucking me out, throwing their shit, throwing their life on the motherfucking me line for a fucking white man don't give a fuck about them.
Wow.
That's what that shit is truly about, man. That's what that shit is truly about. Imagine you putting your shit on platform. You stand 10 toes, nigga, putting your reputation, putting your name out there for a nigga that don't give a fuck about you. A nigga that won't even come see you when you get jammed the fuck up. A nigga that got all types of string pull money. A nigga got access to millions of motherfucking me people. His platform is that motherfucking me big. That nigga, he exploits you. He'll bring your ass up on there, make you like a goddamn fool, do all that nigga shit, do all that niggerhood bullshit. Yeah, I want that imagery. Make you like a fucking dumbass. Ain't nobody ever looked at Crib Mac and thought he made any motherfucking sense on a motherfucking me no jumper. But when you got that nigga on there sounding fucking stupid, mumbling, tumbling, doing a bunch of bullshit, throwing up a bunch of bullshit, no disrespect to no gangs out there, but what you know what the fuck he's doing. He's exploiting your dumb ass, and when soon as your ass get jammed up, he's nowhere to be found. He's on motherfucking me camera talking about some, you would do that for a crip, Matt? Let that shit keep going.
He in jail like, Adam will come for me, hell, 55th Street.
Because his next court date might be 55th Street.
Yeah, I didn't keep it 55th Street, huh?
Nah, that ain't, nah, so you playing. I'm serious to the motherfucker.
Okay. You kept it 55th Street.
With Crip Mac.
Honestly, I didn't even think about it. To me, it's like my interviews come before everything else in my life.
And it's
I don't cancel interviews.
But on some
besides family.
On some.
What you mean?
Brothers.
Nigga ain't your family. A nigga ain't your family. See, that's what I'm saying, bro. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that's why my shit ain't really took off how I want my shit to take off. I take this shit too personal. See, a motherfucker just can't be on a microphone and be sitting next to Hatch. Not multiple times. There's been motherfuckers I brought on my platform that, you know what I'm saying, I would never bring them on again. The relationship just didn't work how I expected that to work. But for a motherfucker to have access to your platform, you bring them on religiously. You bring them on faithfully. You don't view that person as family? I mean, damn, family may be a strong word, but you don't view that person as somebody you would check on when they get fucking jammed up?
Wow.
But you would do business with them. You would make money off they motherfucking me back, though. Come on, man.
Excuse me. Geez, brother.
He was ready to fight.
He a squabble over you. You supposed to go up there. Get seen it.
Famous rich.
Niggas about to squabble for. See, that's what I'm saying, dog. Niggas about to squabble. Niggas about to get down for you. But now niggas get locked up. You don't remember this shit no more? That's what I'm saying, bro. It's bigger than Adam 22. It's bigger than all that shit, bro. There's so many niggas out there as talented. So many niggas out there that got a motherfucking voice, bro. And they let themselves get exploited and get used for nothing. For fucking nothing. All for a nigga to act like he don't remember what the fuck you did for him.
Wow.
All for a nigga to act like you ain't important enough to go fucking see.
Wow.
He can't cancel an interview.
Wow.
Adam 22. You are no jumper. What the fuck you mean you can't reschedule an interview? You can't reschedule a fucking interview? Nigga, you're in L.A. You're in L.A., buddy. It's not. You're not going to be hard-pressed to get nobody to reschedule their time to fucking come to L.A.
Wow.
But that's the type of niggas y'all fuck with.
I seen it.
Yeah.
But he was ready to squat.
He was ready, though.
I'm not lying that I'm not going to act like he's not a good friend, but to use that as an example.
No, that's all we know. I mean,
so I'm not doing, saying it's not.
What you're doing right now.
I don't want to have to tell you what's going on in those pro wrestling matches.
Coach, about your topic.
That's crazy.
It's cool.
Hey, man, I'm good, man. We We can stop talking about Adam 22. We can stop talking about white folks. We can stop talking about culture vultures. We can stop talking about niggas being stupid and niggas still getting fucking exploited by the fucking white man. Nigga will find a way to motherfucking me do it, bro. I'm not breaking down no motherfucking me new game. Niggas been getting exploited since the fucking me dawn of time, nigga. But I'm sitting, I be sitting back and I be peeping at niggas that y'all be acting like really be having it like that. I be sitting back peeping at niggas that y'all actually show love to. And I be like, and I always sit back and I used to point out the flaws of these niggas like, yo, this nigga's a culture vulture. Are you mad at this nigga Vlad when it's really this nigga Adam 22? See, niggas can say what they want about the Vlad nigga. The nigga Vlad was doing mixtape shit back in the motherfucking me day. Ain't nigga that come from mixtape shit and now he doing some multi-million dollar media shit. I ain't gonna call him no culture vulture. I'm gonna call the culture vulture nigga that's motherfucking me exploiting niggas on that gangbang and shit. They only got niggas around them because he want that imagery around them. He want to be protected. Don't y'all find it funny that this fucking skateboard punk ass nigga keep finding himself in circles with gangbangers?
Wow.
Don't y'all think that's funny? A nigga that's trying, a fucking skateboard punk who's trying to run some hip hop fucking media site, keep finding himself tied around gangbangers. When the AD and them niggas left, what did he do? He fucking replaced them niggas with just more gangbangers. Oh, I don't need LA gangbangers. Let's go get some Chicago gangbangers. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Like you said, you got fucking Whack 100 and other niggas sitting there telling you niggas down to squabble for you. Nigga was riding for you. Nigga was raping that motherfucker. No jumper flag. Proud. And you want motherfucker me cancel an interview to go see a nigga court date. Come on, man. It's all about niggas being exploited. It's all about niggas opening their motherfucking eyes and seeing what's truly happening. And broad daylight, nigga, in plain view. That nigga don't give a fuck about no fucking Crip Mac. He don't give a fuck about no fucking Crip Mac. And I'm not even trying to sit here and say that he should. Because I can look at that shit from the outside in and say that he don't give a fuck about them niggas. It's more so about the niggas that keep fucking me volunteering to put themselves in that position. That clout can't be that motherfucking me strong of a drug, dog. So are you willing to crash out for a nigga because he got a platform? Because you can't sit here and say that nigga putting you in better positions when that nigga ain't willing to motherfucking me go to your court dates. That nigga ain't willing to motherfucking me say he fuck with you. You know how hard they was. He's sitting there pulling teeth, dog. It was 2 minutes into that motherfucking me video of them having a motherfucking me chastise Adam 22. If we can even say that nigga was a fucking friend.
Wow.
Come on, man. But I be the nigga that's tripping when I be pointing shit like that out, man. I'm the nigga that's motherfucking me tripping. We gotta stop letting people exploit us, man. We gotta stop letting people exploit us. Like, no matter how talented or less talented I think a motherfucking me is, we can't sit here and act like he wasn't drawing eyes to that motherfucker. We can't sit here and act like Crip Mac wasn't somebody who made a fucking name of himself on social media. But what does all that shit mean? Why? How much is that shit worth when you ain't got nothing to fucking fall back on for yourself? Because when you get jammed up, you ain't really getting all that money. Adam 22 was getting all that fucking money. Now y'all ass jammed up, broke, can't make bail. The only nigga you know with money is the fucking white boy who was exploiting you. And he the same nigga that ain't picking up your motherfucking calls.
Wow.
But he can hop on his motherfucking me camera, act like he don't know the fuck you and did for him. None of that bullshit. And laugh and say you would do that for Crip, man. Come on, man. It's right in your motherfucking me face, man. It's right in your motherfucking face, man. But moving on, man. I want to talk about... you know what, man? I came across this news about Gervonta Davis. He bought back his neighborhood. Mike Epps, he bought back a block in his neighborhood. And I was sitting back wondering, yo, how much money do I have to want to buy back an entire block?
Wow.
You know, it was fucked up because at least with the Gervonta Davis situation, when news came out and the video came out that he had bought back a block in his old city, like the next day, Like the houses and shit was on fire all the time.
Wow.
Like somebody set the block on fire. And I had to sit back and I'm thinking like, damn, bro, like, you know, niggas do a lot of philanthropic shit. You know, niggas give back to the hood, niggas give back turkeys, you know, niggas pass out money. You know, niggas do a lot of shit. And I like to put myself in people's situation, like people's shoes before I start commenting on shit. And I find it very hard for me to understand how much money I would have to buy black an entire block.
Wow.
I don't know what niggas plan on doing with those blocks. I don't know what the actual plan is to buy back an entire fucking block.
Wow.
That shit sound good in music. I'm about to buy back the block. Like, that shit sounded great when Rick Ross said it. But to actually buy an entire block, what are you going to do with that? Granted, you going to start some housing projects and all that good shit. Probably some more affordable homes. That's going to be the fucking ghetto, buddy.
Wow.
You gentrifying the fucking ghetto. And see, you had people talking about, so it could have been some insurance fraud shit. You know, he bought the block. Now he set the fucking houses on fire. It could be a bunch of bullshit like that. I'm not going to throw that dirt on Javonte Davis' name like that. But my question is, as African-American, we all understand that a lot of people don't be happy when you get certain shit. Like, I always be shocked when I be seeing these boxing-ass niggas. Like, I just seen Terrence Crawford post a video up of all his championship belts. Like diamond-encoded and belts, all real gold. And he was talking about the shit was at his mama house.
Wow.
And I always be shocked when them niggas be saying little tidbits like that. Because I be like, damn, bro, like, you know niggas is looking at that shit like a lick. And you telling them that shit is at your mama house. Like, niggas don't be happy for other niggas' success like that. So I wasn't completely shocked when I seen Javonte Davis buying back the block, and the next day, motherfucker set the shit on fire. I wasn't completely shocked. I was deeply saddened, but I wasn't shocked at all. We should damn near expect shit like that. It's always going to be, excuse me, it's always going to be not one, but nigga, two, three, four, maybe even five niggas that don't like what you got going on for yourself. And when you see time and time again of examples of niggas trying to do the right thing, and it's met with, I don't even know the fuck, and it's met with fucking hatred. Because there's nothing else you can really paint that picture at. That's hatred to me. Because do you know what a nigga, you at least have an idea of what you think a nigga's doing when he buy back the block. Like I said, it's going to be some type of affordable housing project, I'm sure. It's going to be somebody who needs a fucking place to stay that's going to be able to move into these houses on this block. So when you see that gets tampered with, and you see that gets burned down, there's nothing else but hatred that screams over that. But I would never understand the point of money that a nigga has to reach to where he thinks that that's a good idea. And maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my neck. Who knows? I don't fucking know. But that's a lot. That's a lot. That, my friend, is a lot. Maybe I've been broke all my... Maybe I've just been broke for too long. Maybe I've been broke for far too motherfucking me long. All I know is living in apartments, bro. I'm going to be real with you. I wasn't one of those fortunate kids who live in fucking houses. I live in a fucking two-bedroom apartment all my motherfucking me life, damn near. Moved out, got my own motherfucking apartment. I've been an apartment living nigga my entire fucking life. So when I think of a nigga buying back an entire block, I'm just sitting back like, nigga, what? Do you know what I would have done with that motherfucking me money? I wouldn't have bought no fucking block just to turn around these niggas to burn the fuck down.
Wow.
I just don't know how much money a nigga like me would have to be that motherfucker me philanthropic, man. I just don't, man. I give a homeless person a dollar or two every once in a while. But when it come to for the hard fucking work that I've earned, the blood, sweat, and tears that I've motherfucking me shed for any motherfucking me amount of money, let alone some millions. If you think I'm gonna turn around, man, and spend that shit on a motherfucking me block, a street in the hood.
Wow.
I tell niggas all the time, man, I don't give a fuck about the hood. A nigga won't find, nigga, you won't see Hatch back on Oakdale, nigga, and Pine Line. You won't see Hatch back on motherfucking me in Nantucket. You won't see Hatch doing none of that shit. I don't give a fuck about not nan motherfucking me block I've ever lived on in my life, dog. I never gave a fuck. I gave a fuck about the people. Fuck the block. Fuck the block. And that's why that's why I'm so fussed. Like, I don't even know how much money I would have for me to even think that that's some shit I would want to do. I don't give a fuck about going back to my old hood and having a fucking street renamed after me.
Wow.
Fuck that street, nigga. It's big. It's more in the streets. It's about the people. Get the people out that motherfucker. Get the people out that motherfucker. Because what's buying this block truly going to do? Is that going to lower the crime rate? Is that going to lower the poverty that's around that motherfucker? No, nigga, now it's just some poverty shit on a street that's named after you. Niggas be so wrapped up in this hood, this street shit, that they turn around and dump their fucking money back in the fucking landfill that they came from. It's like my fucking me. You ever heard about all them niggas who be going broke, who be trying to do real estate in Detroit?
Wow.
You ever heard? That's like one of the worst places to ever do motherfucking me real estate. I forget the basketball nigga who did it, bro. Nigga put like fucking me 60 something million into the streets of Detroit. That nigga broke as a motherfucker now.
Wow.
Nigga put 60 M's into the streets of Detroit the legit way. Try and do that public housing, buy back the block bullshit. Niggas be so wrapped up in trying to conform the hood, not understanding, nigga, the hood is the hood for a reason. My nigga, that's that the hood, that shit is designed, my nigga. The moment they want to gentrificate that motherfucker, oh, they will. They gonna get you niggas the fuck up out of here. You can't fucking buy back the block. You can't fucking gentrify the motherfucking me block with niggas still there.
Wow.
You got to get the niggas out of there, B. As long as niggas is around, that shit ain't going to be worth nothing. As long as niggas is around and you buying back blocks, they going to burn it the fuck
Wow.
down. Y'all don't want to hear this shit, but I'm going to be real with y'all. You got to get the niggas the fuck up out of there, man. Get niggas the fuck up out of there. Buy back that motherfucking me block or buy back a bullet. Buy a block that you know is going to be fucking me thriving with them fucking pink toes, nigga. You buying back a motherfucking me block dumping 60 M's into some shit into the hood? Because you want to give niggas in the hood something to look at? Man, they going to drain your motherfucking me funds like they've been doing the niggas from the fucking day one, nigga. But what Hatch said is some motherfucking me props. Nah, you gotta be real. You gotta be realistic with this shit, nigga. You gotta be realistic as fuck with this shit. Because a nigga like Javonte Davis that buys a block in less than 24 hours, that bitch on fire.
Wow.
Come on, man. I ain't never felt that bad for a nigga. Like, look, I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't never felt that bad for a nigga. Because you know, no matter how dumb you can think the idea is, you know that that nigga heart was in a great place. You know his heart was in a great place. No matter if you agree with the nigga or not, You know his heart was in a great motherfucking me place. And to see niggas take that action, I don't do shit but hurt your motherfucking me feelings, man. Real motherfucking me talk. That shit is sad as a motherfucker, man. Real talk. But moving on, man. I want to talk about Ja Morant real fast. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies are 4-0 since he's returned. I told you, man, Ja Morant is on God mode right now. If he can fucking just bring the Memphis Grizzlies into the play-in, the playoffs, come on, man. That's all you need to know about the type of nigga that Ja Morant is on that fucking basketball court. Ja Morant is going viral right now, not for anything that has anything to do with that four-game winning streak. Ja Morant, to seal the game against the Pelicans the other night, caught an alley-oop from Marcus Smart as he came down from the alley-oop. He started dancing. Now, from first glimpse at looking at this video, you would see Ja Morant like he fucking shooting imaginary guns and then putting up a bazooka on the side of his head.
Wow.
I got to be honest with you. When I first saw it, I thought that's exactly what he was doing. I thought it was clear that Ja Morant was shooting imaginary pistols and said, oh, you niggas want to take away the pistol? Here's the bazooka on some Rondo number 9 shit.
Wow.
But as I've done more research and as I've, you know, just been on social media and let time go by, you see where he actually got that dance from. There's a viral dance that's going around in New Orleans right now. Once again, he was going against the New Orleans Pelicans. There's a dance going around in New Orleans where people are doing that hand motion and doing like a little, you know, like a little heart or some shit on their shoulder and doing, it's like some little, you know, new generation kids bop shit, right? And that makes more sense. And I choose to go with that more so than him not knowing what the fuck is going on, him being aloof to the motherfucking me, to the public eye and shooting off imaginary pistols. And it's interesting because everybody knows my second favorite player of all time, my favorite point guard of all time is Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas had a gun situation where he brought guns to the locker room. And Gilbert Arenas had got suspended, but Gilbert Arenas didn't get suspended for that long term, that long period of time because of bringing the guns to the locker room. He got suspended when he came back from his little, when he came out on the court and was doing the fucking, you know, the handgun symbols and shit to the crowd, playing around with his teammates and shit. That's what got Gilbert Arenas suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. Granted, I've come on this podcast plenty of times, told you that David Stern is not Adam Silver. He had a way more strong iron fist with the fucking league than Adam Silver does. So when you take that consideration, you don't really think anything could happen. But when you've seen that there's been a playbook for this type of incident already, you can see them following that again. And it's just interesting to see how fast that the internet, the perception of a motherfucker could, you know, make somebody think automatically the negative about Ja Morant. Without a shadow of a doubt, nobody gave Ja Morant the benefit of the doubt. We automatically seen that and say, you know what? He ain't learned nothing. Get his ass the fuck up out of here. I seen those tweets like it was nothing. You seen all these motherfucking me white reporters, these little beat writers and shit, talking about, oh, Ja Morant ain't learned his lesson. When it comes to find out he was doing some little viral motherfucking me dance that's going on in the city of fucking New Orleans.
Wow.
It's just, you got to, I hate bringing shit and circling all the way back to color and niggas being niggas and having to be careful. But that's what this shit is about, man. It's like, once you fuck up, bro, you gotta be careful. You have to understand that everything you do, Ja, is gonna be under a microscope. Every fucking thing you do. You 4-0 since coming back, averaging 28-8-6 or some shit like that. And ain't nobody talking about that. All it took was for one little, you know what I'm saying, hand gesture even that resembled a pistol. And that's everything that everybody's talking about. See, the thing he got to be so careful, man, is because even with the fuck-ups, even with the pistol toting, even with all of that, one thing he got is the backing of the people. And he is so loved by the people that he still has the opportunity to be the face of the fucking league.
Wow.
Think about that. The nigga named LeBron James has been the face of the league for 21 years now. Ain't never got in trouble. Ain't never got a parking ticket. Ain't the nigga used to have Rihanna showing up to his games with her with his name fucking written on her stomach, my nigga. She used to take pictures and tag that nigga on her stomach, my nigga. And there's never been anything that came out about LeBron fucking Rihanna. Think about that. There's never been anything that you can even throw at that nigga that just resembled a bad fucking person. He's been a devoted family man, devoted father, fucking face of the league, never got in trouble. Nigga, Kobe had the shit in Colorado. LeBron has been fucking perfect. And with all the shit that Ja Morant has done, all the shit he's done, the people love him so much, they still chant. They want to hold that nigga's name next to LeBron's. But that tells you everything you need to know about him having the backing of the people. He still has an opportunity to be the face of the league. But I told you it's going to be hard for that nigga, bro. Because any little thing he does, you see what they'll do. They waiting on this nigga to fuck up. They waiting on Ja to straight fuck up. And you can't make it easy for him, bro. You can't. I ain't never wanted niggas to succeed so much in my motherfucking life, man. I love a good comeback story. But don't give these motherfuckers no easy motherfucking ammunition to fucking take away this shit from you, because they really want to. They want Jason Tatum to be. They want Anthony Edwards to be. Man, nah, fuck that. It's Ja, nigga. But you can't make it easy for him, my nigga. You can't make it fucking easy for him. It's real motherfucking me talk, man. Don't make it easy for them motherfuckers at all, man. But before we get up out of here, you know, I've talked about, you know, plenty of former athletes on it who turned analysts, podcasters, who's putting themselves out there in that media space. I've talked about a lot of these guys over the years, man. We talked about the All the Smokes. We talked about, you know, Gil's Arena. We talked about Draymond Green. And you got to talk about Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. You got to talk about all these former athletes who are putting themselves in this media space and they're thriving with this shit, man. You know, recently from the football side, you got the pivot. You know, you got Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco doing their nightcap shit. You got Cam Newton doing his thing. And, you know, Cam Newton's an interesting guy, man. You know, over the last couple of years, you've heard the things about people say about why Cam Newton wasn't in the NFL. Why wasn't he a good idea to be a good fit for a backup quarterback? And it was always that excuse being thrown out there that he was just he was too big of a star to be sitting on the bench. And I got to be honest with you. I kind of always thought that was some bullshit. I always thought they was finding ways to penalize Cam Newton to keep him outside the game. Using that excuse saying that his personality was too big. He was too big of a star of a personality. I never truly understood that. I always felt like that could have been great, you know, to help jersey sales. That could be helped to have more people in your locker room that these younger players look up to and respect, especially Cam Newton, the backup in Dallas. Come on, man, who wouldn't have really fucked with that? That would have been a great motherfucking me story. You got Odell Beckham, his ass going to every motherfucking me team. He in Baltimore right now, big personality, big star, big draw, and they're fucking thriving. So I never truly understood that with Cam Newton. But Cam Newton has been doing this thing when it comes to this podcasting shit. I know a lot of times people say, man, that nigga look alike and things of that nature. I try not to get into all that bullshit. But I can't sit here and act like Cam Newton isn't doing this fucking thing when it comes to this media space. You got the news that went down today, him and Deebo Samuel exchanging some words and things of that nature. So Cam Newton is finding ways to make sure his name stays motherfucking relevant around the game of football. I never understood them when they said that his personality was too big until now. Cam Newton, some niggas just ain't meant for the backdrop, not to be in front of the limelight. Some niggas' personality is too big. And it's no fault of his own. Cam Newton is one of those guys that he's still young enough to where you want Cam Newton to still be a guy. Not the guy, but a guy. And when you, the style of play that he had, he was so ahead of the culture with that shit, that his style of play is the way that NFL quarterbacks play football now.
Wow.
I mean, when you look at a Josh Allen, when you look at a fucking Justin Fields, when you look at a Jalen Hurts, when you look at all these guys, not named Lamar Jackson, you see a lot of Cam Newton. And when you see his personality on screen when he's doing these interviews, he just had a clip that go viral. He was talking about Jalen Hurts breaking his quarterback rushing record or something like that. When you see how he talks and the way it's still received, I can honestly say I understand what the NFL GMs and media personnel were saying when they said that Cam Newton's personality is too big to be a backup quarterback anywhere in the NFL.
Wow.
When you think of backup quarterbacks, bro, you don't think of Cam Newton, bro. Hell, there's fucking starting quarterbacks in the league that don't even have an ounce of personality that Cam Newton has. There's only a few people you can really say has the Cam Newton type of glow, personality, and aura. Odell Beckham Jr. Who else? I think that's the closest one. You start venturing off into more diva-ass wide receivers. You're not going to find no other quarterback that even acts like Cam Newton. You ain't going to find no running back that acts like fucking Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a diva fucking wide receiver wrapped up in a fucking QB, bro. And it's great for him doing this, his media shit. But I think I understand now. Because I don't think I would want Cam Newton as my backup quarterback while Jalen Hurts is breaking his fucking records and the fucking media is asking fucking Cam Newton, him being as animated as he is, that don't sit right with a fucking backup quarterback. It just don't. Some niggas ain't meant for that role, man. And I get it. We see it with fucking like Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson wasn't a nigga that Bubba Chuck couldn't come off the bench for no nigga. That's the type of nigga he was. And we understand it when we look back on it, like, man, Bubba Chuck ain't no fucking bench riding ass nigga. That's Bubba Chuck. The legend of Bubba Chuck wouldn't have been the legend of Bubba Chuck if he did come off the bench in Detroit.
Wow. If he did
come off the bench in Memphis, Bubba Chuck wouldn't be Bubba Chuck. Same thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton coming off the bench for who? Dak Prescott. That ain't Cam, dog. That ain't fucking Cam. So it's interesting. It's very interesting, but I think I can finally see what the fuck them niggas was truly motherfucking me talking about, man. But with that being said, bro, I think that's all we motherfucking me got, man. I think that's all we got on the motherfucking me, Doc Brown. I think I'm gonna wrap it up right motherfucking me there. Let me just make sure we ain't missed nothing. What do we talk about, man? We talk about Adam 22 being a fucking culture vulture, Elon Musk on some weird shit with these motherfucking human android robots and shit. Talked about fucking, what's my boy name? Javonte Davis and Mike Evans buying back the block. Talked about a lot of things, man. Ja Morant causing more speculation and more going viral for doing his in-game dance celebration after catching the oop on New Orleans Pelicans. We talked about a lot, man. We talked about a very motherfucking lot, man. Episode 194, great-ass episode, man. With that being said, DJ, drop that fire-ass beat, my boy. Look, man, it felt fucking great to be back in here, I tell you that much. Episode 194, man, Thin Line Between Jason and by yours truly, O to the motherfucking BG. I know some great motherfucking BG. That being said, you know, we'll give it on this side. It's all love these ways. Never let them side with the bullshit. Always keep the main thing in the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. Now I'm just gonna soon be out this motherfucker. Peace. Great episode, man. Episode 194, man. Thin line between jeans and this thing. Hosted by yours truly. OG! We in this motherfucker, man. I want to say thank you to everybody that tapped in, joined the conversation. I truly appreciate all love and support, man. It's Keep Us Empire Brick by motherfucking me, Brick. Tell a friend, and OG got a motherfucking me podcast. You tapped in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, et cetera, et cetera. All DSPs, no matter where you find your podcast, be in that motherfucker. Review the show, man. Leave them 5 stars, man. I'll come through there, and I'll chat with the folks on there as well. Be tapped in on YouTube at OGH TV. Shout out to y'all for being a real motherfucking me day one, man. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a like. Leave a comment. All the good shit the YouTubers say. We in this bitch, man. Visuals is dropping rapidly, man. Visuals is dropping. I'm catching up. You know what I'm saying? As I'm recording, I literally just upload a visual to YouTube, man. So get off my motherfucking me back, man. We doing the motherfucking me thing. I just want to say thank y'all for being patient with your boy. Thank y'all for tapping and joining the conversation. Thank you for being a fucking me loyal friend of the show as we wrap up phase two, man. On the grind 200, this shit don't stop for a motherfucking me soul, man. I just want y'all to know I love y'all. I'm thinking of y'all. And I holler at y'all when I holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw Is
OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing on me, man.
You dig?